Welcome back to another episode of Blessed Is She That Believed. We are season 4, episode 39. And this episode I am titling it, Is There Someone Else? So we're going to get into it, but first we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for this day. Father God, we thank you for the ability to breathe on this side, Father God, to be alive on this side. Thank you for allowing us to see one more day, Father God, for allowing us to be here to fulfill purpose. Father, we just thank you for your word that's already blessed. We thank you for opening our eyes so we may behold wonderful things out of your law. Father God, we just come against all distractions. We come against all hindrances. We come against every and anything that tries to disrupt what you are doing right now in this atmosphere, in this moment. Father God, we just thank you for your angels surrounding us, protecting us, and keeping us, Father God, and bearing us up in their arms, lest we dash our foot against the stone. Father God, I just thank you right now for your word. I thank you, Father God, that your word just permeate our hearts and minds. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So, hey y'all. I hope y'all had a good week. Like y'all know, I get up and do this. I record an episode on Sunday morning. So it's Sunday morning here in Brunswick, Georgia, 6:17 a.m. Sunday, December 7th. And my dog is apparently sick, but it's a distraction. Let me tell you something about the enemy. If you are going through some stuff, I need you to look at the patterns of every time you were attacked, because it's going to be the same thing every single time, because he doesn't have any new tricks. He's going to come at you the same way. So my church, we have our annual Christmas cantata the first Sunday of December. We've been doing this for over 20 years, okay? And yesterday, my dog started having gastrointestinal issues. Like, she started vomiting. And she's been doing it ever since. Like, I woke up to vomit on the floor. It's like, okay. Because every time the enemy comes at me, he comes at me through her. Because he can't get to me, so he comes at me through my dog. One time, my dog was laying outside on the grass because she was just done. Like, I don't know what she ingested. Like, we still don't know what that was that she ingested. But, like, I honestly thought she was going to die that day. Like, she looked bad. And it's always her stomach issue, you know, like, so I'm just kind of like at this point, like, before I got on here, I literally rolled up my rug that was under my coffee table because she threw up on it. So I rolled my rug up and threw it in the trash can. I went outside, threw it in the trash can, because it's like, okay, because I saw my mom last night before I went to bed. I said, if she throws up while I'm asleep, it is what it is. Like, whatever gets lost is going to be replaced, because the Lord is going to replace it, because he allowed this to happen. He's allowing it to happen. I mean, because the enemy can't do anything unless God allows it. So he's allowing this to happen, so he'll replace it. And that's just my attitude about the whole thing. She's supposed to be going to, I'm supposed to board her today. Because I've never boarded her before, but on the day of the cantata, I never board her. I just leave her at home. But I say, you know what? No, I'm going to take her to be boarded, and that way I don't have to worry about her being home, because like I have to be, the cantata starts at 5 p.m. like we start on time. Like, we actually start on time. I know, despite what you believe, that's why you can't believe stereotypes, and that's all I'm gonna say. All right, but we start on time. We start at 5 p.m. but being that I run the board and everything, I have to get there earlier, so I get there like at 3 o'clock, 3:30, to set everything up and make sure everything's rolling right. Well, that means she would be home by herself from 3 o'clock until like 8 or 9 o'clock. And she wouldn't have eaten anything. Like, I don't have anybody to come by my house and feed my dog. So it's like, no, let me see the daycare. They'll take care of all that. So now, if she's doing all of this, that means she would have to stay home. I don't have time to deal with that today. But I don't have time to worry about it either, because guess what? It's all in the Lord's hands. It's above me at this point. It's above me. I'm just like, whatever. So I prayed. I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to take her to daycare? You want me to leave her home? Because even if I leave her home, you're going to watch over her. You're going to protect her. If I take her to daycare, you're going to watch over her. You're going to protect her. So whatever you decide for me to do today is whatever is going to happen. And that's just how I'm going to leave it. But I will say this. Rehearsal yesterday, I thought we were going to have to listen. I thought they were going to have to get little blankets out. Because I thought we were going to, like, it's, I'm excited. I said, the concert, the cantata must be, it must be fire tonight. Like, it must be fire tonight. Because I'm getting this head through my dog. I'm pretty sure other choir members, and that's the thing, like, the choir members go under attack, too. Pastor Paul, my pastor, he's been getting attacked in his body, like, weeks ago. Like, it's just been, everybody's going through stuff. But we expect that because the closer you get to the victory, the enemy turns everything up. So, we have people from all different walks of life that come to this cantata. And we pray over the sanctuary. We pray, like, it's warfare. It is spiritual warfare. And the enemy wants us to be distracted with what's going on with our personal lives. He wants us to be distracted by other things going on. He brings distractions because his sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to steal our focus so he can kill our praise and worship. So he can destroy the plans of God. And that's not going to work. It's not going to work. Like, it's not going to work. So, I mean, I don't want her to be sick. But at the same time, like, I can't be focused on that. So, it is what it is. But y'all just send prayers to my dog. So, anyway, unless you not living right for the Lord, then you don't. So, anyway, is there someone else? So, let's see. I can't even remember how I got on this. It happened last night. I was on the phone with my mom washing dishes while I was washing dishes. And we were talking about something, and I brought up John the Baptist. And, oh, I know what it was. I was talking about the Christmas cantata night and what I was going to, some of the things, you know, explain the things to my mom. And I was talking about a video I wanted to play. And there's a lamb on the video. And I said, it reminds me of the scene from The Chosen where John the Baptist was getting ready to be beheaded. And he looked out the window and he saw a lamb on the hill. And I told my mom, I said, you know, like, because I get so sidetracked when I'm talking. I'll talk like 20 different topics just to get back to the main topic. But anyway, I told my mom, I said, that scene brought me to tears because I don't think anybody really talks about how John the Baptist must have felt in that prison. Like, your cousin is the Son of God, the living, true blue Son of God. Like, this is the, he's the one everybody was talking about in the Old Testament. And you sitting in prison, about, you're literally about to lose your head. He didn't say, like, he did not come to your rescue the way you thought he was. Like, you know, like, he didn't do it. Like, why did he let you sit in, like, all these thoughts that must have been going through John the Baptist's mind. But in that scene, which, of course, you know, it's The Chosen, I'm pretty sure they took some liberty as far as filling in the gap. Like, we don't know if John the Baptist looked out a window and saw a lamb right before his, we don't know that. But as a visual, to see the reminder, like, he was always with you. He was always there. And he's there now. Who, I'm about to tear. Like, it's like you were reassured that in that moment, you're about to lose your head. He still reassured you that I'm here and I never left your side. And it's like when he saw the lamb outside of his window right before he was beheaded, he had a little smile. And I think they asked him what his last words were or whatever, and I can't remember. But it's like, okay, you were here the whole time. Okay, I know definitely that you, and it's like, I don't think, I just know. Okay, so let me go to the scripture. So in Luke chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. And John called unto him two of his disciples, sent them, because John is in prison. Remember, Herod threw him in prison because John was, you know, John was being John. He was being a prophet. He was speaking the truth. And he said, you being married to your brother's wife ain't right. And so his wife had him thrown in jail, like throw him in prison, you know. So John is in prison, and John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, come unto Jesus, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Why would John ask that question? Of course, I read a lot of commentaries before I got on here. But it's like, why would John ask that question? Why would he ask that question? And it's like, John knew who he was. When John came on the scene, John already knew his purpose. He knew who he was. Remember, John was spoken of in the Old Testament. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Talking about John. Isaiah speaks of the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way for the Lord. It's John. John was in the wilderness crying, prepare you the way, the kingdom of heaven is come. Like, repent. That was John. In John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. John bore witness, and light here is capitalized, capital L. That's Jesus. He bore witness of the light that all men through him might believe. John was not that light. Because in verse 8, it says, he was not that light. He wasn't the capital L light, but was sent to bear witness of that capital L light. That was the true capital L light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's. And then, verse 15 of chapter 1, it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He's talking about how, I mean, because it goes back to John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, because the Word is Jesus. So he was before time began, so of course he would be before John. That's what he's saying. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. So that was John. That's John saying about Jesus. He declared Jesus. Okay? So John knew who he was. Let me get there. In Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 11, when the angel appeared to John's daddy Zacharias, who was a priest, says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. You shall call his name John, and you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the Jesus. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what was prophesied. That's what was spoken before John was even conceived. So John knew his purpose. John knew his purpose. John knew his place. Because John said in John 1, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. This man right here, this is him. John said also, when they asked him, are you Elias? He said, I'm not. Are you that prophet? He said, no. He said, I am. He said, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I am not the Messiah. John knew who he was. And he was not trying to be anything other than who God purposed him to be. John knew who he was. He said, I am not the Christ. I am not Elias or Elijah. He said, I am not that prophet. He said, it says, then said they unto him, who are you? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Esaias. Or Isaiah. And in verse 25, they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Then, the next day, in verse 29, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John knew who Jesus was. There was no doubt. John knew who his cousin was. And then verse 30, he says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Okay? He said, John said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and then abode on him. He said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So, it's just so much. Let's just do it. Okay. The thing is, John, there are many different views on why John had his followers ask Jesus, are you the one we're waiting for? Is there someone after you that we should be waiting for? Is there somebody else? Is there somebody else we should be waiting for? There have been, like, I read a couple of commentaries, everybody's saying something different. One person mentioned what I initially thought, but then there were some very interesting commentaries as to why John asked that question, had his followers ask Jesus that question. And they were saying it was a decipherable question, like it was coded. So that way John and Jesus would remain protected. So he asked the question that way without just coming out like, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Like, he didn't ask it that way. He asked it, okay, is there somebody else that we should be waiting for? You know, and Jesus responded, and I will talk about it in a minute, but for John to ask that question, my initial thought was, I don't know how long John was in prison. I don't know how long he was in prison before he was beheaded. Let me see. It says several months, likely between 6 to 18 months. Okay. So about a year and a half, maybe, at most. And if you think about John the Baptist, he lived in the wilderness. And this is one of my, one of the commentators who said this, like, that probably was driving him insane. You've been free your whole life, been wandering around, just going where God is sending you, just enjoying fresh air. Like, that would drive me insane. Although, I mean, think about it, like, when we were going through COVID, a lot of people were losing their mind. Like, a lot of people were, I was thriving because I don't like being around people. I'm doing better. It's just, I don't like being social. I just like kind of being by myself. Like, people think, like, I'm an undercover introvert or extrovert. It's not that I'm undercover extroverted. It's just that I have had enough time by myself that I have enough, like, juice on my social battery that I can go and be social and everything. But once the juice has run out of my social battery, it's like, I gotta go recharge. Like, it's like, I gotta go home, get under my blanket, make myself a cocoon, and be like that, you know? So, but I will say this. There are certain aspects, like, if I can't get to the ocean after a certain while, that drives me crazy. Because it's like, I have to put my feet in the sand. If I don't put my feet in the sand at least once a year or twice a year, it drives me insane. It's like, I gotta get to the ocean. I don't know what it is. I love the water. I love to swim, even though I haven't been swimming in years. I have to be by the body of water. I have to be by my water. It's something about, it feels like it's recharging me. And I love spending that time with the Lord, just seeing how vast the ocean, like, it just puts things in perspective. Like, we really can't, like, how do you outrun the ocean? Like, it's like, the ocean covers 70%, its body of water covers 70% of the earth. Like, there's nowhere for us to go. There really is nowhere for us to go. There's so much water. And it's like, when you get by the ocean, you feel so small. You realize you're not in control. You don't control where those waves stop. You don't control how far they go out. You have no control at all. At all. And it makes my problems that I believe, like, as big as they may feel huge to me, but when I stand next to that water, it's like, it puts things in perspective. Like, you know what, my problems aren't as big as this ocean. They just seem that big, but they're really not, you know. And that's why, but anyway, taking a walk in nature, I prefer to walk outside versus going to the gym. I love working out outside. I love going walking outside. I love that. I hate going to the gym. Not that I shouldn't say, hey, that's a strong word. I dislike going to the gym because I like being in the fresh air. I love being in the fresh air just to walk. But being that, you know, I'm getting older, I do have to go to the gym more to walk because of my joints and stuff like that. Pounding on the pavement, yeah, them days pretty much, I have to be careful how I walk outside now. But I prefer going walking outside. I love being outside in nature. And so I can understand John being cooped up in a jail cell for 6 months to a year, year and a half, how that would, you know, and you're in there by yourself. And he's more than likely a talker. He go up to anybody, never met a stranger, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he was in a, like, in a room, you know how some television shows show the jail and you got like several cells in one room. So I don't know if it was like that. I don't know if he had other prisoners in there with him. He was probably talking to everybody's head off. because that's what he's a minister of the gospel, like giant, you know. So I don't know, but I know it was in comfortable conditions. I mean, he was in jail. So you sit in jail, and your cousin is the son of God. You know your cousin. I just read to y'all in John 1 where Jesus, John the Baptist knew Jesus was the son of God. He proclaimed him. Hey, look. This is the one I'm telling you about. This is him. This is the one. This is the one who's preferred before me. This is him who I'm not even worthy to loosen the latchet of his shoes. I'm not even worthy to touch his feet. Like, this is him who takes away the sin of the world. This is him. This is the Son of God. Like, that's what John said about Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. It was no secret between them. They're cousins. They're blood cousins. His mother Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. Mary, when Mary got the news that she was pregnant with Jesus, took off running to go see Elizabeth and stayed with her. Elizabeth was already like 3 or 6 months pregnant. She was about 6 months pregnant when Mary got to her. And then when Mary entered the room, John the Baptist inside his mother's womb, inside Elizabeth's womb, started leaping up because the Holy Spirit fell on him. And his mother started prophesying over Mary. Mary didn't tell her she was carrying the birth of Jesus, She wasn't carrying the baby Jesus. She said, she ain't said nothing to her about her being pregnant. The Holy Spirit fell on Elizabeth as soon as Mary walked in the room. Baby inside of her started jumping around, catching Holy Spirit, falling out. Nobody put a blanket over him. You know, like, he knows who he is. So, the thing is, we know who Jesus is to us. We know who Jesus is to us. But we get in those times where we're going through stuff. And it's like, it's hard to see the hand of God moving. It's hard to see God's hand in anything when you've been sitting in your situation longer than you would have liked. So it's like, where is God? I always use the example of where I am right now, being single and navigating that. Not just being single, that would be one thing, but being single and you've lost an ovary, and then there was a moment where your doctor was like, we need to think of other options for you for your birthing plan, because I know you want children, but it's starting to look like you're not going to be able to birth children naturally. Like, okay, so I'm in a single season and I'm waiting, and now everything's being stripped from me. Okay, so God, where are you? What you doing? You know, like, when you're in those situations, those type of situations, okay, that's what I'm talking about. When you have been diagnosed with cancer, and not just any cancer, but it's a rare form of cancer, and they basically told you that they have no cure. That kind of situation where you feel like you're a prisoner to your body. Oof. And you have no control over the outcome. And you have to sit and wait. And when I say sit and wait, what I'm saying is spiritually you're sitting and waiting to see the move of God in your life. Because you know what God has promised you. You know what he has already spoken to you. But you just didn't know you was going to have to sit in this kind of prison. You didn't know that when he spoke that to you, that was supposed to get you through this season. Because you got to hold on to that promise. You didn't know that. So I'm talking about those kind of seasons. I'm not talking about you sitting in the traffic light behind people who drive slow. You trying to get somewhere and people keep turning in front of you going 20 miles per hour. I'm talking about some hard stuff. I'm talking about seasons where you and your spouse ain't talking and hadn't been talking. And your spouse left a letter on the coffee table as you're getting ready for work, you see it, and it's actually letter for divorcement. That kind of season where you have no control. The kind of season where your child has run away from home and you don't know where your child is, and it's been months. And every time the phone ring, you holding your breath. Like, you've been living at a state of stress that nobody should have to go through. That kind of season. Or the kind of season where you have lost a child unexpectedly. And you just don't know anymore about life. I'm talking about that kind of season. John was in prison. John was in prison. John knew the word of God. He knew the word. He loved God. John loved God. He loved Jesus. That's his cousin. Jesus is his cousin. He knew who he was. But he still had his people ask the question, are you the one we're supposed to be waiting on, or is there somebody else coming? Are you the one, or are we supposed to be? That kind of season where you question. You question, even though everybody tells you it's not polite to question. You don't question because you're being rude or disrespectful. You're questioning because you need reassurance that what was spoken to you, what you've seen God do in your life, what you have seen him do in the lives of others, what you have seen him do, period. How is this going to work out for me? How is this going to work out for me? How are you going to turn this situation around for me, God? I lost my child. Are you going to resurrect him from the dead? Are you going to resurrect her from dead? I lost my baby. How is this going to work out for me? How are you going to... My wife just asked me for a divorce. I don't even know what I've been doing wrong. I'll be going to work. She said she don't love me no more. I've been busting my behind trying to make this household a home for her. I love her, and she doesn't love me anymore. They just told me I lost my child. I got 3 kids at home. There's nobody else to help me. I don't have any family. What are we going to do? God, are you there? Do you see me? That kind of season. Some of us are going through those seasons right now in one area of our life, or more than one area of our life. It could be a Job effect where it's happening over here, over there. And it's like everywhere you turn, it's just death. Something's dying. Whether it's your finances, your friendships, relationships. It's like, oh my gosh, God, what are you doing? Like, are you really God? Are you really the one that moves mountains for me? Are you really that one? Yeah, John was having a human moment. A lot of times people see those who minister the gospel, and I think that's just a human thing, that we sit under these pastors, we sit under these apostles, which I don't even want to get into that, the title of apostle, because anyway, we get into the, you know, these people who are ministers of the word of God, and we think they good. Do you ever ask them if they're okay? Do you ever ask them if they need prayer? If you're going through hard stuff, can you imagine what they go through? And then it's like, how do they deal with that? Because do they get a chance to have somebody that they can share and vent to? Yeah. We trust God. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But there are moments where it's like, I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody who can encourage me in a word, who's not going to judge me and say, oh, you doubting God? How you going to doubt God and you supposed to be a minister of the word? I'm a human being first. I'm a human being. I'm in this flesh. My spirit knows that God can do the impossible, that he can do exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think. My spirit knows that. It's the flesh that's having a problem with this because it's uncomfortable. And it hurts. And it wants relief. It's uncomfortable. I'm in this situation that doesn't make sense. And I can't make it make sense. I have no control over it. I can't control the outcome. I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to trust God, and I am, but I have a human moment right now. I'm having a human moment. I need to just cry and vent and be free to ask a question without it being misinterpreted that I'm doubting God. And even if I have a question about how things are going, it doesn't mean that I'm turning away from God. I just question because it doesn't make sense to me. And it's like people don't have space. They don't know about holding space for people who have to carry the word, the ministers of the gospel. They don't know how to have space for them because they believe, oh, everything's perfect for you. That's literally, we put people on pedestals whether we realize it or not. So then when we find out, oh, this person has had an alcohol addiction this whole time, this person has had an addiction to porn, you know, then it's like, oh, this person fornicated. They got pregnant outside of marriage. Oh, no. We're human beings. We're human beings. John, this shows John is a human being. I am not even like, oh, John, like John the Baptist questioning Jesus. But in the commentaries I read, like I said, there were several reasons why this question was asked. It wasn't just he was asking because he may have had a doubt. I believe personally he was asking because I think a little selfishness was there in that question too. Because why am I still in jail and you my cousin? Why you hadn't come and overthrown this king? This king is evil. That's why I'm in here. Because I called it out. So why hadn't you come in and saved me? Why you let me sit in this prison? Why are you making me go through this situation? Why hadn't you saved me from this yet, Lord? Why hadn't you shown up in your power and might and strength? Why are you just letting me sit here? It looks like I'm not going to make it. It looks like death. It looks like the enemy has won. Why are you letting the enemy win right now? Why are you allowing this, God? Is there somebody else that I need to be praying to? I said all the prayers. I read Psalm 23 and Psalm 91 and Psalm 84 and Psalm 122. I read Psalm 121 over and over again. I played a song, My Help, by the Brooklyn Tabernacle every night before I go to sleep. Like, I'm saturating myself in your atmosphere. So why haven't you delivered me from this yet, Lord? And then there's silence. And I told my mom when I brought this up, I said, I don't hear anybody talking about how John the Baptist must have felt in that prison. Like, do you know? Me personally, if I knew that my cousin was the son of the living God, the one that was sent to save the whole world from their sins, and that he had all power given to him, like, I would be sitting there in the prison cell like, I let me tell you something. I would have been mad. I would have been mad at Jesus. Cause it's like, you really gonna make me sit? What did I do? I did what you said. And I think we have those moments. I did everything you said, God. Why am I going through this? But why, as believers, do we feel that we don't need to go through anything? Why do we feel like we are above going through hardships? Why do we feel like we are above going through challenges and sorrows? Jesus was described in the Old Testament as a man of sorrow. He was a man of sorrows. I gotta find that scripture now. That he was a man of sorrows, despised. Isaiah 53:3 says, there is no beauty that we should desire him. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's in verse 2. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. I'm sorry, I said sorrow. It's sorrows with an S, so that's more than one. And acquainted with grief. Woo! What does it mean to be acquainted? Let's look it up. Make familiar with. He's familiar with grief. That's a whole word right there. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. That is in Isaiah, the Old Testament. That is prophesying of Jesus in the crucifixion. And he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And then the Apostle Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who gave his life for me. I think I quoted it wrong. But I'm crucified with Christ. If we're crucified with him, that means we're going to go through with him. We go through the things that he went through. John probably sat in that prison. And at first it was probably cool. He like, okay, cool. He gonna save me. He gonna save me. But after a while, you know, you've been sitting in this situation for a while. It's like, I'm gonna be here for a while, ain't it? I still remember when I was going through that financial season. I went through that financial season for 3 years. It didn't break until the beginning of this year. January 1st is when it broke. Like, from 2022, no, actually, it was probably the end of 2021, like when I say the end of 2021, December 2021 is when it started. Yeah, so it broke, yeah, about a little over 3 years, or almost, yeah, a little over 3 years. So, I ain't had no money, y'all. Account was always in the red. Like, I remember the most I owed was negative $600, $700 in my checking account. And then by the time payday came, it was like negative between $250 and $500. So I was able to cover it with a check. Like, I was working my part-time job. I had just started back. The first thing was, so a lot of this was my fault. I quit my part-time job after I got my house, and I should have never quit the job. But I quit the job because I was like, I'm tired. I had just started working at the high school, had my own classroom, and I was like, I want to just be able to go straight home. I want to stay at work late if I need to and just go straight home. I don't want to be going to another job. Like, that's too much. Quit that job. Didn't ask God, because I wasn't living in, I was going through a lot of traumatic stuff still. Like, I was in trauma brain mode, and from the essay that I went through that summer, and it was a lot of stuff going on, so I was not thinking clearly. So I quit my job, and my part-time job, and I still had money left over from school. I still had school money. So I wasn't even accounting for this money is going to run out because you quit your job. Like, when you were quitting your job, they gave you extra income, so you had cushion. So it looks like you have money, but you really don't have money because you're living beyond your means. Okay? Didn't think about all that. So Your money fizzled out in December 2021 when my dog had to have something going on. She always got something going on. Anyway, she had to have something, and I had to use that money to cover that. Well, going into 2022, it was on and popping, okay? But February 2022, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about some things. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to be out this rut pretty soon. No. Absolutely not. Y'all, I tell you what, that season right there, but the whole time, now don't get me wrong, I had my moment. That's why the Holy Spirit had to speak to me. He had to sit me down for a minute because he was like, hold up now. Hold up. Let me get some straightening. Let me get some reckoning going on here. Okay? You going to sit down and you going to hush. Humbled me. I think that's probably why I just took it to the chin, as they say. I just took it to the chin because it was like, after that experience with the Holy Spirit, I just was like, okay, it's going to work out. I had to learn how to trust God, and I had to be humble about it. But I wasn't humble at first. I was talking big, cold, hard cash. Like, God, you supposed to be da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's why I said, if I were John, I would have been messed up. I would have been messed up, like, because I would have been in that jail with my cup going against the bars, like, let me out of here. Do y'all not know who my cousin is? My cousin is, like, just acting a fool. I would have been acting up, you know what I'm saying? And, oh, the Holy Spirit had to say, hey, go ahead. I'm going to need you to sit down right there, okay? Going through those seasons requires humility. Humility is required to go through those seasons. I don't look at John differently because he asked that question. I look at John as being a human being, because sometimes we see people who know the word of God and who are ministers and psalmists and things of that nature, and we just kind of feel like, oh, they got everything together. No, they don't. They're human beings. And that's why sometimes I believe the Lord allows things to happen, allows those sins to come to light that they may be dealing with, struggling with, or whatever, to show us nobody's perfect. Stop trying to idolize people. They're not your source. Nobody's our source. God uses people as resources to get his will done. John the Baptist sitting in the prison shows us that even though you may be the most gifted person, like you literally walk with God like Enoch did, you still going through something. You are not exempt from hardship. You are not exempt from trials. You are not exempt from grief and sorrow. You're not exempt from being hurt. You are not exempt. Yes, God will powerfully use you, but you may deal with bipolar depression. You may deal with anxiety. You may deal with ADHD. You may deal with autism. You may deal with something that you have no control over. You may deal with those mental things or physical limitations. You may deal with that. And that's to show the power of God and his might through you. Because if God can use somebody with ADHD, bipolar, manic depression, and autism, he can use anybody. Nobody's exempt from being used by God. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. Anybody. Oh, Jesus. You're not exempt from being used by God. Your disability, the disabilities, that the things that we call disabilities, God will turn up. He will use that for his glory. He will use that for his glory. Praise God. He will use it for his glory. And people will go, how did you get, how did that? I had a lady look at me the other day. She said, you're not about to be 40. I thought you were in your 20s. Y'all, my face has broken out. My face breaks out so bad sometimes for no reason. I've been eating strawberries and banana chips and apricots this week. Like, my face has broken out. Look like I got hit with a bag of nickels. And this lady told me, I thought you were, you know, I'm like, you probably thought I was in my 20s because all these pimples on my face. But okay, I'll take it. God used that for his glory. Guess what? Because the first thing, she said, what do you do? What's your secret? I said, Jesus, and I teach high school. She said, Jesus, and you teach high school? But I bet she going to remember that every time she tell that story. She told me her remedy was Jesus. I can't take the credit for that. I can't take the credit for how my face looked. Jesus did this. I didn't put my face together. I did not put my face together. Because if I had put my face together, I would have definitely made sure I left pimples out and chin hair. I definitely would have made sure I left all of that out. All this stuff. But God uses things that we feel are imperfections. He uses it for his glory. Like, I'm pretty sure John the Baptist had some kind of disability. Like, we probably could diagnose him with something. He probably was ADHD or ADD. That's probably him outside. Yeah, I would definitely say that. I'm so serious. So, and I say that because I'm pretty sure I deal with ADD. I'm pretty sure. If you heard me talk, you probably like, yes, she is. So that's why I say that. But yeah, so him asking a question, are you that should come, or look we for another? Like, are you him? Is there somebody else coming after you? Because if there's somebody else coming after you, then, you know, I won't bother you no more. And Jesus gave him a response, because I also believe with that question, now that I have read the commentary, I believe that question, the God did not say this in the commentary. I said this after I read what he said about Jesus' response. I said, okay, so that question must have had, that question was really, are you going to get me out of here or no? Because see, we some situations, just like when Paul said he was buffeted and he had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed 3 times and the Holy Spirit said, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes you got to sit in that situation. Sometimes you don't get rescued out of that situation. Sometimes you just have to live with that. And we don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear, you may not be able to birth, you may not be able to carry children. I've always dreamed of carrying children. I've always dreamed of that. And I don't want to hear somebody tell me, we got to look at other options for you. What other options? Because there's no other options. Like, it's like, I don't want to hear that. My flesh don't want to hear that. My flesh wants what it wants. But if that's God's will for me to go a different route, then I have to submit to God's will. Because if I don't submit to God, then I won't be able to resist the devil. Because that scripture says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So I had no choice but to submit to God. I might not want to, because that's not what I wanted. I wanted to do it this way. I didn't want this to happen this way. I wanted this to happen. That shouldn't have happened. Why did that happen? Why am I in prison? Are you going to get me out of here? Are you going to get me out of this prison? So I'm going to finish up because I got to go. But Jesus' response to John's disciples. He answered them and said, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In the Amplified it says, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news, the gospel preached to them. Which is fulfilling prophecy from the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verses 18 through 19, chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, and Isaiah 61 and verse 1. But there's another part to Isaiah 61 and verse 1, which is what the commentary was saying. It says, Isaiah 61 and verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Well, Jesus didn't say the whole verse. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus did not say to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open a prison to them that are bound. He left that part off. And what the commentary was saying was that John knew the word of God. He knew the word because God spoke with John. John knew the word. So with Jesus leaving off to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, that was response to John. You're not coming out of that situation. And then Jesus followed it up with, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That verse 23 in the Amplified, they put a lot of explaining. It says, and blessed, in parentheses, it says, happy with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from outward conditions, and to be envied, close parentheses, is he who takes no offense in me, and who is not hurt or resentful or annoyed or repelled or made to stumble, whatever may occur. Resentful or hurt. Basically telling John, you are blessed if you are not mad at me, because you got to stay in this situation. If you can stay in the situation that you're in without resenting God for why you're in that situation, my gosh. If you could stay in that situation that you're in without being hurt and upset that God did not take that situation away, make, like, put you somewhere else, that you, if you can, you're blessed. See, blessing, we feel like blessing goes with being happy and we get things our way. That's not, if you notice, everyone that was called blessed in this holy book, they had to go through some stuff. Blessed is a title given to those who go through some stuff for God, who go through hardships and trials and still come out praising God. That's when you're blessed. Not because you got a fancy car, not because you got hundreds of millions of dollars in your account, not because you can go travel wherever you want to, whenever you want to. That does not make you blessed. Material things do not make you blessed. It's how you endure to the very end. It's how you live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And I don't take pleasure in any of those who turn back. That's what the word of God says. The just shall live by faith. You are blessed if you can go through the fire and come out without smelling like smoke. You are blessed if you can endure to the end. That's when you're blessed. That's when you're called blessed. Not because everything is going your way. And after Jesus said that to John's messengers, when they left, Jesus talked about John to the people. He said, in verse 24, I'm reading from the Amplified, he said, and the messengers of John having departed, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the desert to gaze on? A reed shaken and swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? A man dressed up in soft garments? Behold, those who wear fine apparel and live in luxury are in the courts or palaces of kings. John was in a prison. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? A foreteller? A fortune teller? Yes, I tell you, and far more than a prophet. This is the one of whom it is written, behold, I send my messengers before your face, who shall make ready your way before you. I tell you, among these born of women, there is no greater one than John. But he that is inferior to the other citizens in the kingdom of God is greater, an incomparable privilege than he. Jesus said, of everybody born of a woman, there is no one greater than John. The Son of God said it about his cousin. Oh, Jesus. Notice that Jesus waited until his messengers left. The messengers of John. Notice Jesus waited until they left before he said that. You don't know how people speak of you going through what you're going through when you're not in the room. People watch you when you're going through things. People see what you go through. Y'all, I had somebody speak to me yesterday, and I can't even say it because it'll make me cry, and I ain't got time. I gotta get off of here. I gotta get ready for church. But what he spoke to me, it's like at the stuff, when you go through, literally you're going through hell, and to have the Lord, when the Lord uses somebody to encourage you, it's beautiful. And it's a gift. And Jesus spoke about John. He spoke about John to people because Jesus, he saw John. He knew where John was. That's the thing. When we go through stuff, Jesus sees us. He knows exactly where we are. We don't have to ever question if he knows where we are, if he sees. We don't ever have to question it. We do because we're humans and we're going through, we emotional and stuff. But we don't ever have to wonder if he sees us. He sees us. He knows where we are. He sees you and he knows where you are. All right, y'all. That's it for me. That's all the time I have. I hope you have a great week and I will talk to you later. Love y'all. Bye.